It's time to get brutally honest.
What would you say that is, a 5-minute walk?
Yeah. Took a cab?
I called Steph to pick me up.
Really?
And you should have seen her trying to make a right-hand turn.
She's the worst driver in the world.
That's not good, eh?
I've never seen anything like it.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. And now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It is game 7 night in the NHL. We got 2 game 7s. I sent out what I thought was a fairly simple, easy, harmful poll question.
Harmless.
Harmless. That's right, harmless.
And you got a bunch of people thought you were trolling. I think that's what it was.
I don't know why the reaction.
I don't know how it could be trolling. It's like, which one's got your interest?
Yeah, which game 7 tonight is interesting you more? It doesn't mean that you can't have interest in both, but if you had to pick which one is more interesting for you, which would you pick?
By the way, the playoffs are tough on Pub Guy, because Pub Guy is at the pub every night watching the playoffs.
You want to put
there
in
must
a
be
shift?
Serious yeah. issues if there's a relationship involved.
Yeah.
With Pub Guy that goes to the pub, like, because you see it. They're all just sitting there watching the games.
Well, luckily, the NHL is starting the second game at 10 p.m. tonight. That extra half an hour,
it's massive,
actually goes a long way. That game could be over by 12:30.
That would be
perfect.
Well, it'd be good for me, too, because I've got to tape a show after that.
You're doing That's Hockey tonight?
Yeah. So
you're doing all that tonight.
I'm doing the whole car wash tonight, so let's just pray that there's no double overtime out west.
Well, the reasonable people on Twitter that decided to vote without yes. comment have been voting 65% in favor of Washington-Pittsburgh in terms of the more interesting series. I think we all agreed to that earlier today, just more so because of Washington. I'm not yeah. even sure it matters that Pittsburgh is involved here. It's that we've been talking about the same story for 10 years.
Right.
When will Ovechkin and company get over the hump and finally get through the second round? That does not apply to Edmonton, doesn't apply to Anaheim.
Right.
But both games should be a blast. I think Edmonton's going to win tonight. I'm leaning Edmonton, and I think Washington will win, but
really?
It's a coin flip both ways. I got no clue, and that's the beauty of a game 7.
It really is. And star power, I believe they're going to cancel each other out. I'm looking for... who's the Justin Williams in the Anaheim-Edmonton series?
I thought you were going to say in the Washington series.
No.
Justin Williams.
It is.
Will probably be
no,
the
but
Justin
who's
Williams.
Who's going to be the unsung hero? Pittsburgh, wasn't it Nick Bonino last year and his creepy beard? Like, that beard has got some serious issues. But, like...
if it's Edmonton tonight, I don't know. Like, is it Lucic that takes over the game
Cassian.
Tonight?
Cassian's kind of had a nice
I got a good
run.
Feeling about McDavid tonight. McDavid.
Maybe it's Chris Russell that scores a big goal.
And just rattles the cages
of, the analytics
of every analytic guy on Twitter.
I don't even know why people just fight about that guy more than anything. He's not a number one defenseman.
No.
He's not a top... like
it's such a waste of time.
That's the thing. I sit back and I watch a lot of those arguments. And, yeah, both sides... you can see both sides of the argument. But I think the Edmonton Oilers are quite happy with him in their lineup right now.
I'm going, this is such a gutless pick, though. I think
what?
McDavid and Crosby have big nights tonight.
Really?
Clip it, mark it, keep it.
Well, McDavid didn't have a point in a 7-1 win.
Yeah.
Didn't have a point, so I guess he's due.
I think Ovi has a big night.
He might.
He needs to.
He needs to. I mean, that conversation has not stopped because they pushed it to a game 7.
No.
And this is the beauty of a 7-game series. At 3-1, we're all having the conversation about blowing up the Caps and yeah. is Barry Trotz going to have to potentially fall on the sword here? Would they ever even contemplate trading a guy like Ovechkin or Backstrom or whatever? And now you fast forward 2 more games and they're back in the driver's seat.
Right.
So I think the pressure is back on Ovechkin in terms of him having a big night.
No.
And his big night, let's be honest, is scoring goals.
Yes.
Like, he's got to get on the board tonight for him to truly have an impact. Because he's not the same player he was a few years ago where he throws body around. He's a guy who he can score from anywhere on the ice, and I kind of expect him to. If they're going to win, I would expect he plays a big role.
I can't wait. That game actually has, now that we've talked about it, has a lot of interest. I mean, both of them are going to be amazing. Just all the different storylines, and Ottawa's sitting at home waiting for one of those teams.
That's the amazing thing.
And Nashville's sitting at home waiting for the other. Like, have we talked enough about Nashville?
Like, no, because it's been kind of easy for them.
They've lost two games in the playoffs.
I know.
They beat Chicago four straight.
For funsies.
For fun. And then St. Louis, it was never really in reach for the Blues. 3-1, but then, okay, you win game five, go ahead. I'm with you. I mean, but there hasn't been controversy.
Right.
There hasn't. What are you going to talk about when a team is playing
that well,
almost perfection? I mean, it's a lot like what the LA Kings did that first year they went on that cup run.
Right.
They came in the eighth spot. They knocked out Vancouver in the first round.
Yeah.
And then they just never stopped. And Nashville, they're kind of doing the same thing. Now, it's only two rounds, and I'm not convinced that they're going to continue that into the next round, and certainly not into the cup final.
Would you pick Nashville as a favorite against either Anaheim or Edmonton? Because we know where
to start the series, I would. Just how quickly they got there and waiting. You only lost two games. That's incredible, man. I would pick them as the favorite going into the series.
Well,
I could change after one game if they get blown out. But going into it, our power ranking, because I rated them at the top.
Would you? Well, let's do a quick, do we have time? Like a quick little breakdown?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Nashville in goal. Rene, Talbot, or Gibson?
I'm taking Rene all day long.
The way he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nashville's defensive core.
Take them over anybody's.
Anaheim's closer than Edmonton's, but okay. And then the forward core. Now, Forsberg, Neal, that Arvidsson's been ridiculously.
I still take both the other team's forward cores over Nashville's.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah, just the depth there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, Ryan Johansson's played very well. Mike Fisher,
well, he's
like
finally pulling his head out of his ass and starting to play, and I think Lavi would have a big,
big deal part of that. And that Forsberg's a hell of a player. I don't think people give him enough love.
James Neal can still chip in.
Neal is a beast with the one timer. So it's not inconceivable that Nashville could really be a favorite on either one of those teams.
I think you're probably right. I can't deny that. I wouldn't be surprised if they got through the next round. Like if Nashville's in a cup final. That's not going to surprise anyone. I think, with all due respect to Ottawa, and this has been the story of their whole season, is that no one gives them enough credit. And they're the one team I would be surprised to see in a cup final.
Yeah.
Just because Washington and or Pitt will clearly be the favorites.
Yeah.
But just keep plugging along.
If you had to say that would, out of the teams that are left, the biggest surprise to be in the cup final would be probably Ottawa, but you shouldn't. Based on the way
Carlson, Anderson's capable of putting up numbers. They've got a very underrated forward group. They don't have superstar power.
No,
like they don't have like Turris, Stone, Hoffman. They're all really good players, but none of them are superstars.
Right. They are. And Pageau's had a great series. Bobby Ryan's woken up. Brassard. Like they're talented and deep. But you're right. It's not as big of marquee star power name.
They must be loving this in Ottawa because, as we said earlier in the afternoon. I would say, based on what they did on the ice this year, they were probably fighting with Vancouver for the team that was talked about the least in Canada.
Right.
Like, and they're always fighting with Toronto and Montreal. They're sandwiched between the two biggest hockey markets in the world. And when the Leafs do what they did this year, which is shock the world based on the way they played and get to the playoffs, you know people are going to be concentrating on that. And the Habs, because of the Subban deal and just because of their market in general and what kind of fan base they have and media coverage, they take up 95% of the oxygen. 95% of the oxygen in Eastern Canada
I agree with you,
sucked
but go
up
ahead
by Toronto
and Montreal.
You're
getting right now and just enjoy
That's what
it.
I'm saying, bask in it. You got it. Guess what Toronto and Montreal are doing
Nothing.
Right now? Nothing. Nothing. They're golfing.
Right.
Guys are calling into shows like this.
Yeah.
In Ottawa, it's all yours, man. You own the platform in this country. Now, Edmonton may say something about it tonight, but if Edmonton goes down, it's all Ottawa.
Very true.
All the time. Jay's back in action tonight. Very predictable loss yesterday. Like we thought maybe it would be one of those sports stories where Mike Bolsinger comes up and, for whatever reason, throws a great game. And he actually pitched pretty well.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, some unsung hero Darwin Barney has a career night and they get past the Tribe. That did not happen last night.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
In fact, Morales got injured. He's going to avoid the DL, but he will not play tonight. And to chat about this current lineup and where the Jays are at, we're joined now by Steve Phillips on this Baseball Insiders, brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales on the GTA.
Steve, as the GM, how would you deal with these injuries? I know we talked about it earlier. They brought in sports science people to help with their diet and make sure everybody's healthy. But I've seen it in locker rooms where the GM can come down and say to the trainer or the athletic person, like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I would drink heavily. I think is where I would go. This is one of those ones that, just when you think you've seen it all, then Morales pulls up running down to first base. I mean, I didn't even know he had a hamstring, considering his speed's not really part of his game, right? But it just seems like what can go wrong has gone wrong. And yet you've got to try to not take on that idea that you're snake-bitten, because that sort of belief becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for the players. They'll go out in the game and look for what is it going to be today that's going to go wrong, because something's going to go wrong, and it becomes that thing. You just have to keep battling and not hang your heads. Now, in the meantime, you've got to try to get to the bottom of it. And what's interesting this year is that it's not unique to Toronto. The number of players coming out of games with quad strains and hamstring strains and calf strains. Yesterday alone, Morales came out. Robinson Cano left the game for Seattle Mariners. Danny Hetchavarria came out of the game for the Marlins. And it just seems like every night there's somebody else who's got some sort of a leg issue. Now, whether that's hydration, whether that's guys are taking supplements and in some ways are causing them to dehydrate. And I don't mean steroids. I mean legal things. A lot of times that metrics is something guys used to take that used to dehydrate them and led to a lot of muscle strain. You got to get to the bottom of it. And I think that for the Jays, there's got to be some evaluation about the preparation and the training and spring training. You have to at least ask the question, did we do enough? Should we do more? Did we do too much of one thing or another? Are we not doing enough with nutrition? Are we not hydrating enough? What is it that we can do to start to stop this stuff and the trend? But in the meantime, you're just, you're strapping it together and bandaging it together, trying to put the lineup out there. And it's impossible to make an evaluation on this team right now, because when your backup players are all playing, it's easy to say what you're going to look like. You're going to look like a second division last place team. And lo and behold, that's what they are looking like and what they're playing like right now.
This has to be the worst lineup 1-9 in baseball, right? Like, is there another team even close?
Yeah, well, the if you look at the Kansas City Royals and the run production they've gotten, actually they would trade places with the Blue Jays, believe it or not, with the run production that the Jays have gotten, considering how bad it's been for Kansas City. But look, it's guys are backup role players for a reason, because they can't produce on a daily basis. That they do get overexposed against some of the better pitchers. They don't hit the good stuff and the aces on the other team, and so. Yeah, I think it's hard to think that there's a lineup that somebody could throw out there tonight that's going to be more challenged to score runs. Darwin Barney's been shocking this year how good he swung the bat. Ryan Goins has shown power that I didn't think in my wildest imagination that he had. But they run into a hit here and there. Without a lot of power in the lineup, it means that you're going to need a lot of base runners. You're going to have to lump a lot of hits together in order to put a crooked number up on the scoreboard. And I just don't see the ability in the lineup to be able to do it. So they're going to need an ace performance out of Liriano and try to win a 3-2 game. And that seems to me to be the best hope that they have to try to win a game tonight.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, let's play the old if I had a told you game before the season. What would be more difficult to overcome if I had have told you before the season that they would begin 2-11, or that at some point Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Morales, Martin, Happ, and Sanchez would all be on the DL?
Yeah, I think the injuries would be the bigger thing. Even good teams sometimes get off the slow start, but if they have the talent on the roster, they can overcome it. When you've got the compounding factor of the bad slow start and the injuries, it makes it a much gloomier both short-term and long-term perspective. Now, it doesn't mean they can't do it, but there's literally, hardly any margin for error as they move forward. And they've got to try to make up ground even without their guys. Now, I look at the New York Mets right now. They've got Yonas Cespedes on the DL. They've got Syndergaard dinged up and out. Drubal Cabrera injured his thumb. They've got a lot of guys who have been hurt. yet they won 8 of their last 10 games. And so they found a way to make up ground. Now, they had enough depth of talent to do it, enough pitching to be able to do it, and they haven't had nearly the same injuries that the Jays have. But for the Blue Jays, you know, they need to start making up ground right now. And at best, you can hope that they tread water, stay where they are in the standings, and hope that when they get fortified, they can come back and make a run.
We'll get back to the Mets in just a moment, considering what happened with Harvey earlier in the week. But you, I mean, we all know where they're at in the standings. They're 12-21. They're dead last in the division. They're 10.5 back of Baltimore and 10 back of the Yankees. I think that's what is maybe more concerning in a way, Steve, is this was supposed to be Boston's division, and Toronto would be right there competing. And Baltimore was supposed to fall off, and the Yankees were supposed to be at least a year or two away from really exploding back onto the scene.
That Yankees, they're so impressive how they can just kind of hold ground a little bit, and then they add a little bit, and it's just really good again.
Are you buying both stocks, Baltimore and New York?
Well, I think that both the Yankees and Orioles are out over their skis a bit. I think that they're playing better than anybody would have anticipated, including them. You know, a lot of times you enter into the season, you're probably more optimistic about your fortunes than other people are. They're surprised. Both the Orioles and Yankees are surprised with the level of performance that they've gotten so far. And that being said, so I think there will be some fallback. I don't think either of them are going to keep playing at this rate of success that they've had so far. Starlin Castro is not a 350 hitter. Aaron Judge will fall back. There will be some adjustments made. Now, Gary Sanchez, I think, is a real deal, and him coming back in and swinging the bat is not a surprise. But we saw some vulnerability. CC Sabathia banged around the ballpark yesterday, and it looks like he's a lot closer to the end of his career than he is being a competitive pitcher. Severino will have a day that he struggles, and how will he bounce back and make an adjustment from there? Tanaka's health is always hanging on the thread of that elbow. So I think that they can fall back a bit. But for the Blue Jays, I mean, really, and I've been in situations where we've had to try to make comebacks in season. And I truly believe you cannot think about, we need to go out and win, we need to go out on a winning streak. We've got to go out and win 9 out of 10. Can't think that way. You can't think, okay, we need to go out and sweep this series. Can't do it. You have to think about this pitch in this inning in this game. And we need to win this pitch. And if we win this pitch, then you know what we do? We get ready for the next pitch, and we win that pitch. And when you do that and you find ways to win enough pitches, you win a game. And then what you do is go back and focus the next day on the pitch. Starting to focus on the standings will only mire the Blue Jays in a deeper hole than they're in right now, because there's nothing about it they can look at and feel good about themselves. And they need to then look at the little thing, baby steps, in order to try to get back into a race.
Steve, I don't know if Matt Harvey's situation, I don't think he's the first guy who's ever gone out and had a late night the night before a game and maybe even golfed. But how would you handle this whole situation? Because it really looks bad on him, and it seems to me that he's got to make some amends with his teammates and his organization.
Yeah, this is not an insignificant issue for Harvey because it's not the first time. Back for the 2015 playoffs, he showed up late for a workout. And almost at the end of it, said traffic was bad. And he apologized at that point, said that they were surprised him that traffic might be bad, right? So, the fact he cut it close was a problem. So he apologized, said it'll never happen again. So this time around, he said, this will never happen again. And in the parentheses, it was like, this time I mean it. And so, my experience is that tell me what healthy, reasonable thinking, rational, professional, competitive guy with determination and character and pride in his career goes out until 4 a.m, then goes golfing, and then decides, I have a headache, I'm just going to text him that I'm not showing up to the ballpark, and he scheduled the pitch the next day. When watching the team that you're going to pitch against the next day is a critical part of your preparation. Like, what healthy guy thinks that's the right thing to do? And when it's done multiple times, and he doesn't understand or feel the consequences of his decision, then it makes me think, well, maybe there's some helplessness in his ability to control his behavior. And so my immediate thought is maybe there's something more significant going on and he has a problem. And the Mets are going to have him talk to the EAP program. They're going to have some boundaries there to be able to watch that. But it's bad form at the very least. It does not show his willingness to be a member of the team. And where he made his apology, you guys know what a player says and what a player does are two different things. And at this stage, he has to earn back trust, and it's not with his words. It's going to be with his actions. And so he now needs to commit both to the team and for himself and his career, because he's caught up in the nightlife. He's caught up in the partying. He's caught up in trying to date the next hot model. And he wants to go to the Rangers game, and he wants to be courtside at the Knicks game, and he wants to be that star. The one thing he's forgetting, in order to be the star, you actually have to perform and show up and do your job. You can't just show up and be a star, because at some point, those seats and tickets aren't available to you.
Great stuff as always. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, and the insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
In hockey terms, we would say he loves everything about the game except the game itself.
Yeah.
Didn't that sound like Johnny Manziel?
Yeah. He loved everything, the partying,
but his women. Harvey's a better player than Manziel.
Way better player. Way better. Like, he came on the scene, man, and
he put a show.
He was the next it guy.
I didn't realize. The Sports Horn sent me a text. That's the guy that I was out with in L.A., Matt
Harvey.
You were
partying with him in Hollywood.
I didn't know. I thought he was the owner of the bar. I didn't know it was Matt Harvey until we ended up at that other guy's house.
You were at Stanton's house.
Giancarlo or whatever
Stanton,
his name
was. Yeah. $300 million.
Didn't know. My buddy's like, yeah, we're going to this guy's house. And it ended up. But Matt Harvey, we were in his booth. I thought he was the owner of the bar.
Was he kind of big-timing people?
No, not at all. He was really cool. And a very nice person. But I just, for some reason, it had been told to me that we were sitting in the owner's suite or whatever.
All right, you just bring up the picture.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
There's a picture.
There's a picture.
Kevin Shattenkirk, who we've discussed his skullet before.
Yeah,
he's in full I Afraid mode.
He's close.
He is there.
I Afraid. We should do. Can you do a side-by-side with Al Iafredi and Shattenkirk? Because they both played for Washington, right?
We did do the McDavid held hostage at the airport pick right beside the draft lottery. Uh-oh, I'm going to Edmonton pick.
Right.
And there are similarities. But this one is Shattenkirk beside...
This is something.
Who's that
else?
Former comedian?
That's Balky or whatever from Taxi.
No, it's not. It's...
Not Balky. Latka. That's Latka.
Are you sure? I thought that was the...
Andy Kaufman. Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman.
But his name on the show, I think, is like Balky or Latka or something like
that. He was
that.
Balky?
Not Balky. Latka, I believe.
Yeah, that's not Balky.
Balky was the other...
Whatever happened to Balky? Whatever happened to both those guys on that show? What was that show called, the two guys?
Boozin' Buddies?
No. It was an 80s sitcom, and Balky was the guy, and then there was the other guy who... I don't even know
what
his name is.
Yeah.
All right, let's get after that and try to figure out who...
Oh, Too Close for Comfort, wasn't it? With Ted Knight?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't even remember the name.
I would remember them, but I'm getting them all mixed up. It's Andy Kaufman in Taxi. That's what Shattenkirk looks like. Whatever his name is. I think it's Latka.
It just needs to go full Messier up top.
He's got to cut his hair. That's what it is.
Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers?
That is where Balky is from. What kind of a name is Balky?
What kind of bar play does Balky get?
I'll bet you in his heyday he picked up a lot of girls.
Balky Bartokomis.
And it ran for quite some time, 1986 through 93. That's a good run for a sitcom.
It was.
That's 7 years of bar play, I would say. Balky.
I used to watch all of those shows, Too Close for Comfort, Perfect Strangers.
I used to love them all, too.
They were all awesome. But you look back, even, what was the guy's name? John Ritter, Jack Tripper. Mm-hmm. What was that? Three's Company.
Three's Company, yeah.
Three's Company was legendary.
It was a great show.
Unreal.
Yeah, very well
Ralph
done.
Ralph Furley.
Yeah, Perfect Strangers. So a lot of people are writing in. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Balky from Perfect Strangers. There's some kid who's trying to big time us down in Indianapolis. He ran a half marathon over the weekend, but that's not the point, and that's not the part of the story that is going to make us look even worse. Because we barely broke the 90-minute mark. We'll tell you about that. We'll get back into the McDavid picture and how it might factor into the game tonight in Anaheim. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Sometimes it makes you wonder, like, who signs off on these sitcom ideas?
They're all brilliant, though, when you look back at them.
Who's the
boss? Yeah, but you wonder who, like, signed off when they come up with the idea that you're going to read and someone says, we got to do that.
Well, we were talking about Perfect Strangers because Kevin Shattenkirk looks like Andy Kaufman, and we were kind of thinking that Kaufman played Belky in Perfect Strangers, no, but that's not the case.
He played Lodka in Taxi. That's what it was.
All right, well, let me break this down. This is courtesy of Perfect Strangers' IMDb webpage.
All right.
Belky Bartokoumas, a sheep herder from the small Mediterranean Greek-like island of Mypos, travels to the United States in search of his relatives. He finds his cousin, Larry Appleton, who has recently escaped from his large-sized family and is reveling in the unaccustomed luxury of having his own room to himself. So that's the pitch. I got an idea. This guy, Belky, who's from Greece, is going to come over here, find Larry, and they're going to start living together. Wow. And I think we can get 7 years of material out of this.
Those shows, think of Mork and Mindy. Do you remember Mork, like Robin Williams?
Oh, yeah. He's was he an alien?
Yeah, he came in that egg.
Wasn't that a spinoff of Taxi?
No, Mork and Mindy? No.
I thought it was a spinoff of something. Maybe not.
No, there was a spinoff in Mork and Mindy, but not,
right, okay,
not that one. But Gilligan's Island.
I'm looking
Three's
up a
Company,
bunch of these.
Too Close for Comfort.
Punky Brewster.
Yeah, Punky Brewster was kicking around.
Who's the Boss?
That was great with Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano.
My Two Dads. That was ahead of its time.
Yeah, that was.
Mr. Belvedere. Growing Pains. Family Ties.
Mr. Belvedere?
You remember him? He was the butler. There were some great shows back then. But now it's unfortunate. You go on TBS or whatever and watch them. They're so dated. Like, it's tough to watch.
They're terrible.
But I still enjoy them. Like, that's why Seinfeld is timeless.
I think it is, because we're talking 27 years past when it actually began.
Seinfeld, really?
Yeah, it started in 1990. 1989, maybe.
It really is brilliant. I love it.
And it still holds up.
Yeah, it does.
Nick tweeting and saying Elf has to be the worst.
No way. I loved Elf from Melmac.
Yeah.
I'll bet you couldn't watch an Elf episode.
Duffy looks like Elf a little bit.
The hair?
Yeah, he does kind of have Elf hair.
See, Third Rock from the Sun was my... I love John Lithgow in that.
But that's a 90s sitcom. That's not old school 80s.
Yeah. See, I couldn't watch 2 seconds of that.
Me neither.
Really?
I hated that
show. I thought
show.
It was brilliant.
I thought it was so lame.
John Lithgow is such a good actor, though.
Well, it's kind of like Big Bang Theory kind of has a similar vibe.
Yeah.
And that's really, really popular.
Yeah. Apparently, you just butchered Bartokoumas. You said, like, Bart, like, you just...
Dude, do you think I care that I didn't get Belky's last name? I'm
from
not
the Greek
too
islands.
Worried. Yeah. I was right. Mike tweeting in, Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days.
Oh, yeah, because...
Because, I guess,
Days.
Mork showed up on Happy Days.
That's weird. Anyway. Joni and Chachi. We can't head down this. We can talk for
we're
hours
embarrass
about
ourselves.
This. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I was around, though. I watched a lot of those.
Well, I got a story here quickly before we get back to the McDavid face.
Yes.
Because we ran the 10K over the weekend in just under 90 minutes.
Yes.
I think we're pretty proud of ourselves.
I was under 2 hours, right?
You were under 90 minutes. You were an hour and 28 minutes or something like that. That's not bad. I was like 121 or something. Actually, you got were closer to 124, 125.
Dude, it felt like 5 hours.
For a while. I didn't feel that. I thought the first 3 or 4 kilometers really flew by, but there was a time.
The middle part was a grind.
Real grind. By like 6, 7, 8 kilometers, I kept looking at my clock or my watch. I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to blow past an hour and 20 minutes. Anyway, I guess in Indianapolis this past weekend, there was some festival, the 500 Festival Mini Marathon in Indianapolis. And some 18-year-old kid by the name of Benjamin Pachev ran a 71-minute half marathon in Crocs. He was wearing Crocs, and he ran a half marathon in 71 minutes, which is less than we ran a 10K decked out in new Nike shoes.
You were.
Yeah.
I was not decked out.
You had the old school
shoes.
But how about that? Imagine Cashmere Sai, how about that? Running in Crocs, a half marathon.
Some people like Crocs, man.
They are comfortable, but I mean, to run in them? It is ridiculous.
Someone tweeting in, what was that show where the Sasquatch lived with the...
Oh, I know
Harry
that
and the Hendersons.
I forgot
the
about
giant
that.
Giant Sasquatch?
Yeah, like we used to... I played with this guy named Harry York, and he was a big mutant, and we would always say, strap him to the roof and let's go. Like, they used to put him on the roof of the station wagon.
Right, because they didn't want him to get caught, right? And
but he didn't fit in the station wagon.
That's right.
Harry and the Hendersons.
That's I could go back and watch that.
I don't know, man. Some of these shows are... somebody tweeted in, and I think this one is timeless as well. WKRP.
Can't beat it.
There's a lot of people that still love that.
Would Steph be Lonnie Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she does kind of have that vibe.
So would Jeff McDonald be Arthur Carlson?
Yeah, yes. I haven't seen the episodes enough to know.
Where there's a famous line out there where he said, I don't want to paraphrase, but it's something like, for the life of me, I thought turkeys could fly. Remember they had a turkey giveaway and he was in a helicopter
throwing
the turkeys out thinking they could fly and they were smashing into the ground. And
you're Les Nessman.
See, that doesn't ring a bell. Like I've seen a couple of episodes. I don't remember it.
Does that make you Herb Tarlick the way you dress?
Andy.
You're Andy the program director?
Dan texting in. How about Night Court?
Oh,
Night Court was actually pretty good.
That was very good.
Night Court
Jay
was
Jay Unright as the
as Dan Fielding. That was the, the court reporter or court lawyer. His name was Dan Fielding. I know all these shows.
Yeah, you really are like an
Night Court
encyclopedia
was unreal
of bad 80s sitcoms.
But Bull was the
Jay
guard.
Unright. Bull.
You think so? Because he's bald, and I think Jay Unright's more like Dan Fielding in that show.
All right. There's a young audience listening
to exactly.
This.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, they're done. Let's move on here.
Let's get to McDavid face.
Yeah.
Because if you missed it, this is... It's actually, it's like a bigger story than Game 7. The fact that this guy got held hostage at the airport.
Or just a couple excited fans. That's all it was.
I got to be honest with you. Can I just tell my thoughts on it?
Yes. Go ahead.
I think it's getting way too much play.
Why?
I just think it's so stupid. He took a weird picture with a couple, and it's on SportsCenter.
So you're telling us now it's 6:40. We spent the first hour of the show talking about it, and now
I didn't want to be the buzzkill saying, guys, why are we talking about this? But I think it's being way over. Like,
what? You're like too cool for the pick. You don't think it's funny. What do you not like about it?
It's just kind of that uncomfortable pick. But to me, it's just way too much play. Everyone's doing the. They're doing the copy of the picture.
That's right. We did that too. Ooh. Your show did that at Overdrive 1050.
We did a pick of that.
We did picks.
Steph did it.
We've done picks. We compared that pick to the draft lottery night.
No, you didn't take a pick with Steph holding your arm.
Oh, you're saying that that's what people
are doing. Like everybody in their office is taking a pin. It's just like, no.
See. So remember when Tebowing was a big thing? You're saying that now McDaviding is going to be a thing?
Yeah, everybody's doing their own version of the McDavid. It's just, to me, it's crazy how it gets that much play.
What's the McDavid? Like, is it the McDavid?
I think McDavid face.
There was the Drager face.
I guess everyone finds it. I didn't, like, when I first saw it, Bobby showed it to me down in the studio last night, and I was like, kind of awkward, but I don't think it's that funny.
I think it's because it's cringeworthy, and you can tell he's so uncomfortable.
But
and
he's polite.
Doesn't have a big personality, but he's your typical soft-spoken Canadian guy who's really popular, and he can't believe that people are hanging on to him the way that they are. Like, these two grandparents are holding on to him for dear life.
They're so excited.
It is a death grip.
I agree. It's classic.
Is your voice okay today?
I'm struggling, man. It's the studio, dude.
It's too dry.
This studio, by 6 o'clock, I'm always really, really struggling. It's so dry in here the time.
You are Namath right now.
Do you want to get out of here and let us bring it home?
You guys want to do the final segment without me?
I don't, but if you want to go and get that voice some rest.
Nah,
you know what you need? You know what your voice needs?
What's that?
Hal Gill advice, scotch.
No, my pillow needs a rest.
Actually, you're probably right.
You need the my pillow. Under the tongue pillow.
Well, you know what the truth is? I'm miserable today because I had to mow my lawn for the first time this summer. And I've been playing a game of chicken with this grease ball across the street. And I was waiting for, like, I wanted to get out before he cut his lawn. And this morning, I'm taking my daughter to daycare. And guess who's out there? He's got the lawnmower all fired up. And so I had to come home and do it myself because I didn't want to be
Who else would what did you want? Someone to help you?
No, I was hoping that he would hold out so I wasn't the only guy in the street that hadn't cut his lawn yet. Yeah. Like, there were a few people that... I got a corner lot. I got a pretty big lawn. So it looks, you know, curb appeal, I guess. I don't want to be that guy with weeds and dandelions right. and my grass growing out of control. But I was hoping maybe I could hold off another day or two. But I had to get out there today, and now I'm miserable about basically everything.
I told you off air, I might as well bring it into the public. We rented a little house, and I went over and dropped some stuff off at the rental house yesterday, and the lawns, there's a little postage stamp of lawn, so you can't hire anybody to do it because it's so small. Like, I'm wasting everyone's time. But I don't have a lawnmower, so I go to Canadian Tire yesterday, and I figure, all right, I'll spend $60 or whatever on one of those non-electric ones, just like the blades. You push it, and the grass goes everywhere. So I put it together. I do the little postage stamp, and for some reason, I get distracted, and I unload a couple suitcases. I go to back out of my driveway, and I ran the damn thing over.
So you murdered a lawnmower.
By accident, yes. But my new neighbor was watching, and I don't think that went over. He kind of chuckled, but it was an idiot move by me, and I'm glad it wasn't a dog or a stroller or anything like that. But I ran over my new lawnmower, and I just picked the thing up and took it right, put it in the, right in the garbage. Because there's just nothing I could do.
So what unsavable. Are you going to do? You got to buy a new one.
I got to go and buy a new one. I'm going to buy a better one, I think, that way.
Just take it back and get a refund, man. It's how not you your take fault.
It? If you, you got it at Costco, me. They'll take it.
Costco will. I know people that take back furniture 3 years later, and they're
that's an idiot.
The
move.
Rip. You know what? Get new stuff.
The move used to be buy a Christmas tree on the 26th. You bring it back.
Come on.
That's how I've seen pictures this year. People have sent me pictures. This guy's bringing back his tree.
They finally had to stop. Like, there were a couple things that they, like, when a new iPhone came out, you couldn't bring back the previous iPhone.
Right.
Because that's what people were doing. They'd get the iPhone 4, have it for a year and a half, then the 5 would come out, and they'd come into Costco and be like, ah, it's not working anymore, I want the 5. And finally, they're like, I don't think you can do that routine anymore.
So greasy.
They'll take everything back.
I'm clearly admitting, like, I made an idiot mistake because I got distracted, and for some reason, the lawnmower happened to be right behind my truck. Like, I must have stopped there and grabbed something and walked into the house, jumped in the car, drove away, and ran it over.
I'm telling you.
Run it completely over, but I ran it over enough that I bent the wheels right off, and the handle was bent as well. So it's not good. I'm not going to put it back in a box and go to Canadian Tire and say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because an idiot ran it over.
Is there anything you would bring back to Costco?
No.
I would?
That you knew you were being greasy about it? Like, you knew you were overstepping the boundaries of
right now
purchasing?
I broke something on my own. It was my fault packing it into the TV, and I brought it right back in. I said, look, this was my fault. I just bought this. It was a television. They said, we'll replace it. They're very good at the return policy.
Well, that's why they make so much money, because people love, they're so loyal to Costco.
They're willing to buy it because they know if it gets screwed up,
right,
it goes back.
Yeah.
But well, they're making so much money.
I mean, the greasiness of some of the
but
returns.
That's ignorant, though.
Christmas lights on Boxing Day every year. Christmas lights.
But what do you say to those people? Like, if I was in customer service, I'd be like, you should be embarrassed. You should say you only get a part of that back because we're going to charge a rental fee. Because that's basically what you did. You rented it. You didn't buy it.
They're very customer friendly. They take food back. Food. Yeah, half-eaten food.
No, I'd be embarrassed to do that.
Well,
I know
kidding.
I know people that work at Costco and have had those types of scenarios. And I'm not being hard on people that are trying to save money. It's more about a greasy move.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you eat 90% of a piece of pie, don't bring it back and
claim like the pie.
A bit too sour or wasn't baked properly.
Exactly.
Because that other 90% that you still have crumbs all over your shirt as a result of,
yeah,
would suggest otherwise.
Agreed.
Some just gutless Costco customer texting in saying, I returned a Bowflex after 7 years. 7 years.
Bowflex.
A Bowflex
after 7 years?
That.
Aggressive.
Oh, man.
And I guarantee you he used it once.
And he said it was in perfect condition and they still took it back. Yeah, he probably bought it, thought he was going to do it.
Never
used it, and then said, whatever, I'll bring it back and see what happens, and they took the money back.
That's crazy.
Or they gave it back.
Do you have the receipt? That's the thing.
My understanding is you need the receipt, but maybe they can find it on your profile or something like that. I don't know.
That's insane.
Anyway, we'll get to the three stars, best bets as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Sean texting in saying, could you imagine if a new listener just tuned in for the past half an hour?
Yeah.
You guys have talked about 80s TV shows, McDavid face, and Costco.
Yeah.
And I think it's been our finest work. I mean, yeah, I admit, really. I have been a struggling unit today. I just have not been bringing the heat.
Yeah, if they were expecting hardcore sport talk, it probably wasn't there the last 30 minutes.
But the first 2.5 hours?
Yes.
You're not going to get any better hardcore sports talk.
We're on TV, right?
So absolutely.
People tuned in on TV looking for hardcore sports talk. We didn't give it to them, but
that's fine.
We grinded.
I don't know if I should be happy about this or upset about it. Jeff tweeting and saying, relax, Hayes, you've actually been a lot worse many times. Thank you.
He's just taking a shot at you.
I guess
so
that's a compliment.
That's gutless.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm just playing the two hockey games. I'm on Washington and Edmonton tonight. Throw down 20 and you can score 50. Find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
You sewer me?
No, I didn't sewer you, but if I left, you realize you would have really sewered him because you said, get out of here for the final segment, and then you disappeared. You would have left Noodles on his own for, like, the final segment.
I would have been fine. I would have just thrown out the three stars. I don't know if I would have done anything else. I probably would have been Garth from Wayne and Garth.
I honestly think you would have panicked and been like,
what is your favorite Wayne and Garth?
What is that again? I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
Not. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
I'm having a good time. Not.